Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
We've been trying to answer the question, who really is Jesus Christ? Is he who he claimed, who he claimed to be? Or he was just one man who came around and try to claim who he was not? One thing I know is that our culture and the children of men today are in great need of spiritual awakening. And we need the Lord now more than ever before. I know it sounds like something else that has been said over and over again, but that's the truth. So we're trying to look at everything else that man desires to have, and we have not denied, we have accepted that in true sense, man needs something to wear. Man need something to drink. Man needs somewhere to sleep. And man needs something to eat. But life is not only about food and drink and clothes and cars and everything else that we desire to have. And these are things that God wants us to have in the first place. But the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you read that scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 6, the Bible is very clear that there are people in the world today who sweat for his sake. And God says, you just seek me, and I will add all these things. It's not going to be sweat, and you'll be amazed how I'm going to do it in your life. So we really want to understand, what is it that we really believe in? Why do we have to follow this man Jesus? So we have been looking at what God said, how he fulfilled what he said. And next week, I'll actually begin to look at why do we ever call him the Lamb of God? What does he have to do with the Lamb? And I will see how far God takes us, but I really want us to understand about Jesus. Because everything we do is really about him. Amen?
Amen.
So we go back to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 1. And in the New Living Translation, it says, God's stubborn people. In the Shewa Bible, it says, Israel, you could have won them. That's it. This one. Listen to me, all family of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and born into the family of Judah. And that's already there. There's something else very profound that we need to understand. You need to understand that being born in a garage doesn't make you a car. And similarly, being born in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Mm-hmm. You must know Jesus for yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And why does he refer to that land as the land that he gave Abraham, the land that he gave Isaac, and the land that he gave Jacob? And there are three different things about the three men, which we're not studying today. But God says, you listen because you take oaths in the name of the Lord, and you call on the God of Israel. And I went back. You don't keep your promises. Even though you call yourself the holy city and talk about depending on the God of Israel, whose name is the Lord of the heavens and earth. Long ago, I told you what was going to happen. Then suddenly I took action, and all my predictions came true. For I know how stubborn and obstinate you are. Your necks are as unbending as iron. Your hearts are as hard as bronze. That is why I told you what would happen. I told you beforehand what I was going to do. Then you could never say my idols did it. My wooden image and my nature God commanded it to happen. It's very easy to be deceived that when you make progress in life and some things happen in life, for you to think you've done it by your own power, by your own intellect, by your own wisdom. No, it's God. You have heard my predictions and sent them fulfilled the six, but you refuse to admit it. It's amazing how people can clearly see the one who has done this is God, but refuse to give him the glory.
Amen.
And God says, now I'm telling you things, secrets you have not heard. They are brand new, not things from the past. So you cannot say, we knew that all the time. Yes, I'll tell you things that I tell you. Things you've never heard of before. For I know so well what traitors you are. You've been rebels from birth. Yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name, I hold back my anger and not my fear. I've refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I've refined you in the furnace of suffering. I'll rescue you for my sake, yes, for my own sake. I'll not let my reputation be tarnished. And I'll not share my glory with idols. Listen to me, O family of Jacob, Israel, my chosen one. I alone am God, the first and the last. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth, my right hand that spread out the heavens above. When I call out the stars, they all appear in order. Have any of the idols ever told you this? Come all over here and listen. The Lord has chosen Cyrus as his ally. He will use him to put an end to the empire of Babylon and to destroy the Babylonian armies. And then he carries on and on and on and on. Last week I mentioned that in Job chapter 32, verse 8, the Bible says that, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. All the understanding we are looking for is in God.
Amen.
I've mentioned that man is a spirit living in a body. So even when people say he has died, sometimes we want to think that is the end of life. No, that is not the end of life. As Pastor Uka mentioned, that's called checking out. That is the beginning of another life. You close your eyes here, you open them somewhere. I was driving to your funeral on Friday in Atlanta. And around Bowie, I was trying to overtake a car. I hooted, I gave them the lines, and I started overtaking. And as soon as I started overtaking, the guy in front of me decided to blow me. So I had to go to the side. As I was driving the road, he hit my back, and I just sensed that my car was about to start overturning. That boy was praying, and as soon as that episode ended, I said, God, thank you for preserving my life.
Amen.
But immediately I asked myself, was I afraid to die as a second time? I wasn't. And I'm saying these things because I'm not trying to scare people, but you can die anytime.
Amen.
You can be gone anytime.
Amen.
And as I've said, after you have gone, everything else you have worked for they share.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One message that can change people's hearts is the message of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
That's the only message. All this change we want, people can come and change, we can believe in, change, we can trust. No, we can't trust them. Because we know exactly how it's going to end. There's only one message that can change your life and change that life forever. It's the message of the cross of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I'm saying being born in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. You must know God for yourself. It's exactly as I said at the very beginning. Being born in a garage doesn't make you a car.
Amen.
You need to know God.
Amen.
Last week I said sin is the seed of rebellion that Adam and Eve received into their heart when they were deceived by the devil. And they received that very nature of the serpent, God said. And I said, sin is like a single cell of cancer that never stops spreading. Mm. Sometimes you wish man could just come to his senses and stop a little bit. But the more you wish that, the more man decides to sin more and more and more. And we haven't seen anything yet. There's no cure for sin until the whole sin is taken away. And the power of sin is in its very presence. As long as sin is present, there is the power of sin. The only place where sin has no presence, that's the only place where it doesn't have power. And I want to tell you the truth, sin is very destructive. Interestingly, all of us have it. There are habits, there are things that we do that we know this thing can destroy me. But somehow, we just don't have the power to overcome. Only Christ can help us.
Amen. Amen.
Only the blood of Jesus can wash away our sin. Only the blood of Jesus can make a sinner clean. That somebody was on the path to hell and all of a sudden make a U-turn and they're on their way to heaven.
Amen.
And when I look at the Christian walk, I would like to submit to you that only the Holy Spirit can help us live a Christian life. Your pastor cannot. Your father cannot. Your mother cannot. Your brother cannot. Your sister cannot. Only the Holy Spirit can help you to live this Christian life.
Amen.
And God decided that on the very same day when sin entered the world through Adam's disobedience, the Lord God spoke of one called the seed of a woman who would bruise the head of the serpent, and on the serpent would bruise his heel. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. We have seen over the past 4 or 5 weeks now that thousands of years passed until Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Christ, the creator of all things, the eternal word, was made flesh in the womb of a woman for only one reason. That he would have a body that he would offer for the sins of fallen man. And I would like to submit to you today that the blood of Christ is the only meeting place between God and man. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus. Where do you meet God? You meet him at the cross. And you can get washed clean. John chapter 1:14. Bible says, and the word became flesh And 12:9, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. As Christ was born on earth, the devil knew his time was running out. But he also knew time for sin was running out. We need to understand in our day and age that there is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. So we have to understand that it was the will of God. It was really the will of God. The will of God that he sent Christ into the world to suffer at the hands of sinners. The very same that he came to die for and shed his precious blood and died on the cross. And died there as the Lamb of God. And he died there to take away the sin of the world. There was a day I was driving, the time we still had a farm in Nchinji. I was driving back to the home. And I saw this woman carrying a very heavy load on her head. So I stopped. Just thought I needed to stop and give my lift. So I stopped. I said, am I moved up with her? She mentioned where she was going. I said, you can get it. And she go inside the car. But something happened. She didn't put the load down. She still carried it on her head. And I said, why? She said, you won't be probably take the car more down. And I said, that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to take away the heavy burdens. And somehow still we think we can find the solution to our problems ourselves. We can't. And I said, don't worry about dead in my car. We can always wash it. Take it, put there, enjoy the ride. And the question was, are you sure? And I said, I'm very sure. I know what I'm talking about. She put it there, but I could see that she was still not convinced. And she got off after some point and carried on. And the Lord spoke to my life and says, son, there are many things that I said, just bring it to the cross. Just bring it there. Mm-hmm. But somehow you still think you're in control of all these things. And that message has continued playing on my mind over and over again, but I'm not going there today. But what I want to say is that without the change that God demands, because there's a change that God demands.
Amen.
Without that change that God demands, we will never get to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will never get to heaven without the change that God demands. That's why I'm saying it's only the Holy Spirit that can help us to live this Christian life. For if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
One day John saw Jesus coming in John chapter 1:29. And the Bible says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and go and saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
We'll come back to this scripture next week because we're talking about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God.
Amen.
I would like to say something to us today. That God, and I'm going to say you because I want to address you as a person. Mm-hmm. God loves you.
Amen.
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 And he is willing to forgive your sins. Amen. If you can always say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own.
Amen.
It takes humility.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the writer of the book of Hebrews begins to tell us how Jesus, the Christ, did what we are going to talk about and how he did it. What did Christ do and how did he do it that you and I today can be reconciled with God? We're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll read Hebrews chapter 2 and see what the Lord is going to speak to us today. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, a warning against drifting away. If you want to share, I'll tell you is, somebody has problems. We don't need to be careless. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be careless the way you live your Christian life. Verse 1, New Living Translation, and then I'll go to New King James Version on the 7th scripture that I'll accept this. Verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. And already that scripture is telling us very profound. Something very, very profound. In recent times and days, I have heard people who are saying they are living Christianity. They no longer want to be called a Christian. They are quitting Christianity. They are living Christianity. And my question has been, so where are you going? Because for some of us, there is nowhere else to go. There was a day when Christ asked his disciples, when everybody was living, when they saw that whatever he was teaching was they had teaching, and they started living one by one. And when you came to his disciples, he said, I also not going to leave. And Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And when they are saying, I'm leaving Christianity, I'm quitting Christianity, I'm going, I'm saying, where are you going? Because the only place where we can find eternal life is in this man called Jesus. Verse 2. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? Hallelujah.
Amen.
How should we accept if we ignore this great salvation? How shall we be saved? And the Bible says that God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while you make them a little lower than the angels and crown them with glory and honor. You give them authority of all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What do we see? Is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. I can't remember the scripture. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tested death for everyone. Verse 10. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Earlier on, we read in John chapter 1:14 that he was the only begotten Son of the Father. We come into the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. He said, through the death of Christ, he was to bring many children into glory. That means there's a place for you. There's a place for you. In that glory. And it says, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. You and Jesus Christ have the same Father if you are born again.
Amen.
You can actually call God, you can call God my Father.
Amen.
Very few people know God as my Father.
Amen.
We still relate to him by the position he holds God. My children, the way my children relate to me is different from somebody else who is not my child.
Amen.
My child can tease me. My child can mock me. If I make some mistake and speak Malawian English, they will laugh at me and say, "Dad is not what? What are these words incorrect or something?" What, one word I struggled with so much was the word girl. Even the way I've spelled it, I've pronounced it, is not the way they say it. They say, call. Call. I'm like, you make it sound like gallbladder. The Bible says Jesus is not ashamed to call us. I want you to see that part. He says, that is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. What great honor is man looking for than to be called by Jesus, my brother?
Amen.
I want you to imagine God, Jesus calling you my brother, Jesus calling you my sister, and then you can take to him and tell him, you are my brother. I know you are my God, but you are my brother. We have the same Father. The one who created the whole universe. I can go to him and say, Father. And it's amazing how our children think we have got all the answers to everything. And I wonder why we live with God and think that he doesn't have answers to everything. Today I want to tell you, God has got the answers to everything you are looking for.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has got the answers. And he says in verse 12, for he said to God, meaning Jesus, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I am the children God has given me. Because God's children, verse 13, 14, where I'm going, because God's children are human beings. Are you not a human being?
Yeah.
Okay, now that you accept, this is what the Bible says. It says, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood.
Amen.
The only reason why Jesus put on flesh is because you are flesh and blood.
Amen.
And so you could not be saved unless you had to put on that flesh and blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil. It was only through the death of Christ that he could break the power of the enemy.
Amen.
So we do not deny that the devil has got power.
Mm.
But we know that he whom we believe in has got greater power than the power that the enemy has.
Amen.
That's why we can live in this planet, fallen as it is, wretched as it is, and still live the righteous life.
Amen.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And the Bible says, it was only by dying that he could break the power of the devil, who had the power of death.
Amen.
I get amazed how people fear death. People fear death. And in verse 15 it says, only in this way, by dying, could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. If you want to scare people, just scare them. You're going to die. You see how scared they're going to be. But you come to the point whereby you say, you know what? What shall you profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And you look at this body, you have to put it down somewhere someday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was on the cross. It was on the cross that the serpent succeeded to bruise the heel, the fleshly body of Jesus. It was on the cross.
Amen.
The Bible says they pierced him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And as you begin to read all that,
you begin to get amazed the kind of suffering Christ had to go through to set us free.
Amen.
Blood had to come out of his head. I want you to imagine a thorn, very poisonous thorn, piercing your head. And it's not just piercing your head, it's going right into your artery. It's going right into your veins. And all the blood is gushing out. And to make sure that he has surely died, they had to take a spear and pierce his side. And only afterwards they discovered that only water was coming out. They're very sure that the blood, all the blood was shed. I want to tell you today, all the blood that Jesus could shed on the cross was shed on that day on Mount
Calvary. Amen.
For us. Amen. That's why the Bible says, how are we going to be saved if we ignore such a great salvation that Christ had to obtain for us?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And it was on that cross that the seed of the woman, through his death on that cross, that Jesus bruised the head of the serpent. I would like to tell you today, it was through death that Christ destroyed the devil. But for who? For the believer.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There are two kinds of death. There's physical death and there's spiritual death.
Amen. Amen.
This physical death, if the Lord Jesus tarries, all of us are going to die. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, I love the way the Shoah Bible puts it. Let me read it. Much as this is an English service and you're English people. But let me read to you something in Shoah.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, this is what the Bible says. Thank God for electricity.
Amen.
That's not what it says. Says, Sono Yehova anati, Singirola, kuti chikwili kiti, chiku kuchidikachi, chipitilile mpagamu yaki. Pakuti ili mbiye mtu, masiku amu wadi, aza kalazaga 120. Why? Zaga zaga zikaya 120 is because of chikwili kiti.
Amen.
And because God doesn't want you to continue experiencing chikwili kiti, there's going to be a day when you have to go.
Amen.
Somehow this physical body, as we begin to grow, as it begins to age, there comes a day when it can no longer hold the spirit inside it.
Amen.
And when it says, I'm tired, eventually the spirit leaves. All of us can die. That one we should be ashamed of.
Amen.
Sickness, disease, aging, all these things are going to make us leave this planet.
Amen.
But then there is another death. That death is called spiritual death. That is eternal separation from God.
Amen.
But when it says eternal separation from God, it doesn't mean that then that's going to be the end. No. Because remember, I have said we are spirit.
Amen.
A spirit does not die.
Amen.
And because a spirit does not die, a million years from now, trillion of years from now, thousands of years from now, time without end. It's funny because I know our time here on earth comes to an end. But I want us to understand there will be a time when the time will never end, but we have to continue living. And there are only two places where we have to live. We either live in heaven or we live in hell, based on the decision we make right here on planet earth. There's going to be something called eternal separation from God. The Bible says of the devil, says he's the God of this world. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Second Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded. People look like they're God's sight, but I can tell you the truth. There are a lot of people that are walking in blindness.
Amen.
Lots of people walking in blindness.
Amen.
Since Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Anyone who doesn't believe, they are walking in blindness.
Amen.
They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. When we talk about Jesus, brothers and sisters, we are talking about the exact likeness of God.
Amen.
Those who saw him walk on planet Earth, they saw exactly how the Son of God looks like.
Amen.
And yet when he walked on planet Earth, even though he was exactly God, they did not recognize him as God. Why? Because their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world.
Amen.
It's obvious. The devil, the old serpent, is alive. Even if you try to kill him, he's not going to happen. All these prayers you want to pray and say, I'm killing you, devil, you're wasting your time, because he is not going to die. Hallelujah. He's not going to die. He is alive and kicking and very healthy. But even though it's like that, the Bible is also very clear that he's already condemned.
Amen.
Condemned is you go to court, they present the case and everything else, and the judge says, you're being found guilty.
Mm.
That's condemnation.
Amen.
You need to come on such and such a day for your judgment.
Mm.
It's not on the same day that you're found condemned or guilty that the judgment is passed. Many times, many other times, whereby after being pronounced guilty, they say, you don't know what they need to remind you, somewhere like that. And then you come to court again, and on this day, they now pronounce judgment. The Bible says the devil is already condemned. Even though he is healthy, even though he is alive, even though he is kicking, the Bible says he's already condemned. And there's a day that he knows judgment is going to be passed on him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even though it is like that, there is a place where the devil has no power. And that is called in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I want you to understand, Jesus cannot share you with the enemy. When he's in your heart, he's in your heart. There's no space for the devil there. The only thing that you can give the devil is called a foothold. And that's why the Bible says, don't give him a foothold. There is nothing, and I want you to understand, there is absolutely nothing that the enemy can do without you giving him permission. Anything else that he does in your life is because you're giving him permission to do that. And the Bible says, because the one who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That is what we call born again. We receive Jesus into our heart, make him master, Lord, and Savior of our lives. And you can become one with Christ. According to John chapter 15. All this I'm saying right now, the world does not understand. The greatest challenge we have in our time, and I can call it the greatest challenge of our time, is lack of purpose. Lack of purpose. People do not know the reason why they are living. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, you are with his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that you should do, that God ordained before the foundation of the world, that you should walk in them. And I don't know whether it was on Sunday or whether it was on Wednesday I was talking about this, but I was saying, okay, look here, Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, that's where we're talking about, for my grace of being saved to the faith, and that is not of yourselves, listen, I suppose, and everything else. But that verse 10, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God ordained before the foundation of the world, that you should walk in them. It means that God knew that I was going to be here. Because before I was. I'm spirit. I just came here, occupied the body of my mom. My mom carried me around today. But here I am. Body, soul, and
spirit.
And one day the soil with the spirit is gone. But if God says there are works out of them, we were talking on Wednesday about being here on a mission. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The greatest challenge we have in our time is lack of purpose. And I want to say this. I know it's going to sound maybe crazy to other people, but I would like to tell you this. Your purpose on planet Earth is not your job. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is something greater about you than the job you're doing. Your purpose on planet Earth is not your business. There is something greater than the business.
Amen.
Your purpose on Earth is not to get married.
Amen.
There is something greater than marriage.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if you don't marriage, then it means only those who are married are the ones who are going to have a purpose.
Amen.
Then what about those who are single? Or widowed? Or separated or divorced? Then you are going to say, this was our proper purpose. Hallelujah. It's just that God, according to what you brought to here on planet Earth for, and I want to say this to everyone else, he could have decided that you'd be born a woman. Therefore, you have no reason to look down upon women. It's just, I'm not going to go to the relationship. I'm not going to go to the relationship. I'm not going to go to the. And your wife would have been born a man. But there is a purpose. And the purpose is deeper than all these things that we are looking at today. You need to discover God's purpose for your life. We looked at the story of Jonah on Wednesday. God tells him, go to Nineveh. 550 miles from where he was. The man decides, I am not going there. I am going the opposite direction. Where he was going, 2,500 miles. And things started happening on the ocean or on the sea. And I was saying to people on Wednesday, I said, do you know that your disobedience can cause harm to innocent people?
Amen.
Your disobedience can make other people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It can be your wife, it can be your children, it can be your husband, it can be... And all these ones that you say you care about, just my disobedience, for instance, let me give myself. My disobedience can make Dr. Melda suffer, can make El Shaddai suffer, can make Amanda suffer, can make Asina suffer, can make all of you suffer.
Amen. Amen.
If I just do proper scandal, proper scandal, you are going to suffer along with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot say it's my life. No, it's not my life. It's all your life also.
Amen.
My business is your business.
Amen.
And your business is my business.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just one person's disobedience can make a lot of innocent people suffer.
Amen.
Just one person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that Jesus who lives in us is more powerful than the enemy who is in the world.
Amen.
And may God give us a heart that is obedient to Him.
Amen.
The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. There's nobody else who can deny. Of course, sometimes with the way my children have grown up now, when they say, this is so and so, they say, oh, no, you are lying. I don't want to judge. But afterwards, they accept. You know, because they know that I cannot go and claim and say, this one is my child, when they are not my children.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
So God calls me His child. And because God is my Father, I can call him Father. When I call him Father, those who do not know him, they think he wants it. But it's true. Are you going to argue that when I say, because me dad, and then you say, no, sir, so I want you, and he's just calling me dad. What's your problem? Guess the cause, Pastor Uka died. And then you say, Kestan, I want it. And he calls Kestan, my son. And then you say, now also, I want it. She's been born, and I go, I wish you are my son. I'm not going to let nothing be born. You know, can you now go and call him my son? And for us, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has decided to call us his children.
Yes,
and
yes.
Proudly so, I call him my father.
Yes.
When I go to him, I go as to my father.
Yes. Amen.
Do I make mistakes as I do? Mm. Just like my children do. Mm. Oh. My children make mistakes. Mm. But when they make mistakes, I don't say you are up for adoption. Oh. I've never told them, okay, what you have just done right now, I'm giving you away for adoption. No. The way they are my children. The way you are God's child. As long as you have accepted Jesus.
Yes.
As long as you have saved your life.
Yeah.
Our sins, he has separated them as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
If you threw them on the ocean, you put a sign on that ocean. No fishing allowed. Nobody's allowed to go and fish on that place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Since we are God's children, the world doesn't recognize us. They think we are going same place. No, we are not going same place. We are just going through here.
Yes.
We are going somewhere.
Amen.
It's as if I'm going to South Africa. When I'm driving through Mozambique and Zimbabwe, it doesn't mean I'm going to Zimbabwe. I'm just driving through. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I am here in Malawi. True, I'm not denying. Somebody else may be in America. Somebody may be in Philippines. But all of us, we are just going through.
Yes.
There is a place we are going. It's called glory land.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's where we are going. And therefore, I cannot get caught up with what is going on right here on planet Earth. No. This is fleeting. This is just something else. That's not going to last forever.
Amen.
That's why I'm saying the greatest challenge we have on planet Earth right now is lack of purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Dear friends, verse 2. We are already God's children. It's not saying tomorrow. It's not saying the other day. It says we are already
Amen.
God's children.
Amen.
But then it says, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But we do know that we will be like him. Yeah. For we will see him as he really is. And all who have this greater expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Those who are not walking in holiness is because they don't know who Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. And there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this.
Amen.
When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. And when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. They belong to who? The devil. That's why Jesus used to say, you are of your father, the devil.
Mm.
You tell someone else today that one. Hey, it's an offense. But it's true now. You belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who are being born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why even though we can go south towards each other, we need to reconcile.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says Christ didn't come here to give us power over sin. Mm-hmm. He came to take away sin.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He came to take away what? Sin. His blood washes the contamination of sin out of these people.
Amen. Amen.
When sin comes and I sin, it's as if I was wearing a white shirt and then I accidentally dip my white shirt in some dye or some ink. Thank God for Jeep. Because then you can easily put the very same shirt that has been so stained. You put it in something else, these chemicals, and it is as clean as if it was never stained before.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus takes away all the sin. His blood. In verse 7 on what John 1 says, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
And John adds, in 1 John 5, verse 1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen. Amen.
The peace, the joy, the fulfillment you are looking for is found in Christ.
Amen.
Religion without a personal encounter with Christ will not bring the peace that you are looking for.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It doesn't mean that God wants you to live a miserable life.
Mm-hmm.
You can live a good life. Go and check Job 36:11. It says if they obey and serve him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years. I think it's years in prosperity and days in quiet. Let me go. So that I don't misquote myself. They'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. I think that's what it says. Job 36:11. Yeah. If they obey and serve, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, at your right hand are the pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
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 So, we saw last week in Daniel chapter 9, God sends Gabriel to speak to Daniel and says the Messiah will come. And when the Messiah has come, he will make reconciliation for iniquity and make an end of sins. And that was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified on the cross.
Amen.
And I want to say a few things that then we have for the community. Number one, if you truly, and I mean truly, I'm not talking about half-hearted commitment here. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, who Gabriel promised would come to make an end of sins, if you truly believe that Jesus the Christ is the Lamb of God who died to take away the sin of the world, if you truly believe that Jesus the Christ is the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent, if you truly believe that Jesus the Christ destroy the devil for every person who can and who will believe it, then you are truly born of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I wonder why God wants us to live a public life, a public Christian life. I said, it's very simple. I found the answer yesterday. It's because everybody else that Jesus called, he called them publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, his death was also a public death. It was a private death.
Amen.
Therefore, you cannot be a private Christian.
Amen.
You are not an investigator.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to live public Christian life.
Amen.
When you say, I am a Christian, immediately people are going to expect to see that something is different from you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And about you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
People are going to see that. So everything that Christ accomplished on the cross, he also accomplished in you.
Amen.
That's why Paul wrote to the church in Corinth,
mm-hmm.
in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I just want to read it.
I'm going to read it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 3. Let me begin from this one. I'm going to read all the way to verse 19. I'll just read. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You woke up deep then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that serves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures say. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. But tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raise Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more pitied. We are more to be pitied than anyone in the world.
Amen.
Why are we Christians? And why we believe in Jesus to be the only Savior of the world is because he rose again from the dead. The risen Christ is our only hope. And that's why we can say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And all fear is gone because he lives. Then the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ is the basis of our faith.
Amen.
And God proclaimed it. And what I want us to understand is that he's coming back.
Amen.
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 He is coming back. And this is what it says. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night that when he was betrayed, I wonder why people don't want to be betrayed. You have to be betrayed, man. The one you are following was betrayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's full package.
Amen.
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 On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for me. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper. That is not a permission for you to go out there and drink wine. Second, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Amen.
When we partake of the Holy Communion, what we're basically saying is, we are announcing that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And if you truly understand what you are announcing, then you're going to be very careful how you live your life.
Amen.
There was a time, years ago, wife was in school in Zongo, and I used to live in the world. We were commuting. The house would be dirty throughout the week. But on Saturday morning, I used to wake up very early and make sure it's very clean. I would scrub everything so that when she walks in, she finds that the house is in order. And she used to say, it's like just not it's that. Yeah, it's nice. When she is coming, I had to make sure things are
in order.
But the interesting thing is that I would know she is coming. For Jesus, I don't know when he is coming. So I cannot be careless now.
Amen.
I need to live my life as if I've received that notice that he's coming. And what I want to announce to you today is that he is coming. And my announcement that he's coming, we're going to take Holy Communion. Because this is part and parcel of what Paul says, I receive from the Lord himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like what we were saying earlier on, he died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. And when he rose from the dead, this is what he said. Before he died. And after he rose, he said, there is one thing I am giving you as a guarantee that I'm coming back. Guarantee that I'm coming back. Holy Communion.
Amen.
And then he talks about the Holy Spirit as the deposit. That, you know, when you want to buy something, these shops whereby they say lay-by is allowed. You know, when you go to do lay-by, you don't collect the thing on the same day. You lay-by. Okay, you say, this is my deposit. That you cannot sell this thing anymore. I am coming to collect it. Okay? And Jesus says, I have given you a lay-by. I have given you a guarantee. That where I am, you shall be also. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you.
Amen.
So what is the guarantee? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But because you can't see the Holy Spirit, then he says, I'm also going to give you something else that you do as often as you drink it, as you eat it, to remind you, I am coming back. Holy Communion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.